Rabbi Katankishlita was my order. We're falling a little bit behind, which is true. It's true that the rest of the issue is now up to starting Hilchas Shabbos Chelek Gimel. We are a little bit behind. But in line with our general rule that we never missed and skipped anything, so it would be a shame to skip out now. But maybe it is a good idea to could try to hurry up a little bit. And also, maybe if by the holidays, which is in how many weeks?
2 or 3 weeks.
So if we haven't mamash caught up by then maybe I'll do. I seem to remember that last year we were also a few shiurim behind. And then I did like, I pre-recorded them. I think that's what we did. So maybe if we don't catch up by then, we'll do something on those lines. But having said that, let's get on with Simon Reish Lamed. Hiding tzaz brochis protius, which is aloha specific brochis. Hamispal ma sha'ova. This is a general rule now. Somebody who davens on something which happened in the past. Kegoin. Such as. Shenichnas le'ir. You went into a city. Veshama, and he heard kol tzvacha, a voice of screaming. Bo'ir in the city. So you're walking into the city. Somebody's walking into the city. And as he walks in, he hears screaming. And he says, "Well, my yirotzen, it should be the will of Hashem. Shaloye koil zeh besoich basis." I hear the screaming. I don't know what it is. Yirotzen, it should be not my. It should be not my. My family. It should be somebody else's family. It shouldn't be my family. Alternatively, oishah hoyisah ishtemu beres. His wife was expecting. Hachaboyim yoyim leibura for them 40 days. The Omar, and he said, "Yirotzen shetelet ishtizocha." And the wife is expecting, I want this to be a baby boy. It should be the will of Hashem, it should be a baby boy. This is a tefillah in vain. So in other words, it's too late. You have missed the boat. When your wife is about to give birth, you say this should be a boy, it's just too late. Because it either is or isn't. It's no point davening for that. Similarly, if you go into a city, and there is this screaming of pain and agony coming emerging from the city, you can't say, your husband shouldn't be for my family, because it either is or isn't. Hashem is not going to make a nace. So, Hashem could make a nes, but you're not meant to daven for a nes. So, therefore, it's inappropriate to daven for that. It's tefillah, Hashem is a tefillah in vain. Elo, rather, yispal odom al osit love. A person should always daven for the future. Vitin odal al shova, and a person should thank the Ribbono Shelolam for the past. Kigoyin, such as, shenichnas lekrach, when he entered the city, Oyma, he says, Yerotzim Fanech Hashem Elokeinu, she should be the will of Hashem Elokeinu, Shtachniseini Likrach Zeh Lesholom, she should say, please Hashem, I'm entering a village now, please ensure that I'm going to be safe and sound when I enter the village. It shouldn't be like a dangerous place to end up. I don't know who lives in this village, I know he's there. It could be a bunch of dangerous people. So Hashem, as I'm entering this village, please Hashem, please make that. This is an appropriate tefillah. When you entered in peace and you saw that you are safe and sound, you should thank Hashem, oh, I'm pleased that I ended up in this safe place. Bekeshlot says, when he's about to leave the village, you daven what we call now this tefillah sederech. When you left in peace, thank you Hashem that I left this place safely. And you thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for that. V'kshem she'yitzan li shalom, just as Hashem, you've taken me out of this place in peace. Kain, similarly, Todichen Hashem should lead me in peace. Ad, until Bochot Hashem, Shemiyat Tfilah, which is known as Tfilah Sederech pretty much. V'zui Tfilah Sederech, Shenichtevu hi, v'kol dinei b'simen kuf yud. This is what is known as Tfilah Sederech and Simen Kuf Yud. So, the rule of thumb that we're learning is that a Yid, the general attitude of a Yid, he thanks about what happened in the past. He appreciates what the Ribbono Shel Olam gave him in the past. Whatever Hashem is given, you thank the Kodesh Baruch Hu for that. You don't take anything for granted. You don't take anything for granted. At the same time, we are mispalel for the osid. We daven for the Ribbono Shel Olam for the future. We don't take anything for granted in the future either. But to daven for Hashem for something which has happened already, that's too late. No tefillah is in vain, and we tend to sometimes fall into that. So an example would be once you've bought a lottery ticket, and you just before you're scratching it off, I don't know exactly how it works. I've never done it myself, but I see people scratching it off. Yeah?
A scratch card,
okay. Whatever, okay. So whatever it is, it's too late to daven then because it's tefillah shov. You either have got the multi-billions or you don't have the multi-billions. No point davening at that point. Similarly also, when you have a check that you're expecting and you're just before you're opening the post, it's, oh, I hope this is a £1,000 check. And it's too late because it either is or it isn't. There's no point davening at that point anymore. So Hashem is not going to, you're not allowed to daven Hashem for a nes. It's inappropriate because who are you to daven Ribbono Shel Olam for a nes? Don't ask for the miracles. But you should always daven for the future. Whatever is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in stock for, you should daven, please Hashem, let it be good. But not if it's decided already. Yeah.
I'm sure I remember seeing in the Torah somewhere, before you go into a warehouse, you're allowed to daven that it should be full. But after you go into the warehouse,
I don't know about that. Maybe that you're referring to the next Seif. Tell me if not. Okay? I don't know if that's what you're referring to. But this is really a rule. This is a mamasha rule. This is the general attitude of a Yid. Approach Vita and Chazanish and the letters writes a few times about this. The Yid has got his mispalala osid. His mispalala everything. You know, who knows if, what we're worthy of. And mispalala osid and nois no yidu'ala ova. Hanichnas lomud es gornoi. A person is about to measure his crop, his produce. Okay, oy ma is he should say yrotzum fun nech Hashem Elokai shtishlach brocha bekrize. You daven a piece that should be gebenched. Should be gebenched. So before he is about to measure how much exactly it is, so he should say, please Hashem, make sure that, please Hashem, please make that this should be brocha, should be blessing in this kriim. His chelama, once you've started measuring, then it's too late. Oy ma brocha ashelach brocha bekrize. But if you measure, then you make a, and then it's too late, then it's a tefillah shav. After measuring, so this is another rule, an important rule, that you're not meant to, generally, if you can avoid counting, it's the best. If you don't know how much crop it is, that's when the bracha is going to be in it. If you don't know how much produce you have, that's really when you'll daven. That's when you the bracha is shoilit in it. As soon as something has measure, something is melubash in has got a measure to it, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu may or may not give bracha because it's also ein hora. It's basically ein hora. It's basically boils down to ein hora. Don't measure exactly. Best not to know. And I heard from a Yid who told me that he saw Reb Moshe Feinstein. So again, I heard from a Yid who had a conversation with Moshe Feinstein. Moshe Feinstein used to open the drawer, and even poor people used to come into his house, and for tzedakah, he used to open the drawer, and without looking, he would take I think it was notes, and he would give the oni, and he wouldn't look. He wouldn't look how much money there was left. He would never look how much money. It was his own wage. It was a very poor wage. Moshe wasn't rich. He lived in a flat. And he wouldn't, it was his weekly wage, was like in an envelope, and it was cash. And he would take out, when Anim would come, he would give out money. He would never check how much money would be left. So this person, I heard it from the Baal Maisa himself. I heard from the Baal Maisa himself. He asked the Moshe Feinstein, he was like a gabba there, like a shtickle, no gabba, it was like a ben bais. And he asked the Moshe, why don't you look? He made the point of not looking. Moshe Feinstein made the point of not looking. So I asked Roshiva, why not looking when you're taking out the notes? And he says, because ena brocha mitzvah bedavar sinayin. Ena brocha mitzvah, the brocha is not found, ela only bedavar, something which is nelam, taken away from the eyesight. Once I start counting how much money I have, and how much money I still have, then there's no brocha. But like this, I know the Rebbeinu Shem sometimes, you know, ena brocha mitzvah bedavar sinayin. The Rebbeinu Shem gives sometimes, sometimes, you know, it could be a bit more, but do you know what I mean? It's like the bracha is there. And he says very often, he said that it's never happened that he gave out money for the stock and there was nothing left anymore. Because it's a certain bracha when you don't check exactly how much money. If you keep cheshbon, £450, £445, £440, £435, £430, £420. Then at the end, there's a limit. There's a limit to it. It's melubash. It's got surah. But if, and it's boils down to an horror. But if you don't count, then who knows how much a bracha sometimes can give a bit hidden bracha there. Right, and there is Yidin who are very makbet on this, Rabbi said. There is Yidin who are very, very makbet, and they will not count. They'll not count. Many of us have the minig not counting children. Not counting children, you know, when somebody asks you how many children you have, they don't say how many. We're 18 brothers and sisters. You don't say that. He says, I know, and the makbet for that is because ena brocha mitzvah bedavar sinayin. If it's, you know, then once it's got a figure to it, once there's a measure, there's ein hora. I mean, that's where it comes from. Certainly, when it comes to the millions, if you go in a bank account, never say I've got 18 millions in a bank account because it's you don't say right. Okay, Hanichnas lekach. This is not halacha though. It's what appears from the svarim. Siv gimel. Hanichnas lemechetz. Somebody goes into the bathhouse. Oy miyrotzim fanecha Hashem elokai. Shtachnisen lishom setzini lisholim. Somebody goes to a bathhouse. Remember in those days there was bathhouses. People didn't have a bath in their houses, so they used to go to a common bathhouse, and then you make a bracha. You say, "Yiratzim v'shibili v'Hashem, mifonei Hashem l'kai, shtachniseinu should enter l'sholem in peace, v'sotzeinu l'sholem should leave this place in peace as well. V'satzileinu should save me, ur hazeh, from this fire. V'chiyotzi bol ha'sudlovoi, and similarly also in the fire in future, because, Hazem Shabur explains, Sivkotten hei, hanichnas l'mechetz, that actually not go to tefillah zu. Nowadays we don't say the tefillah when we go into the bathhouse. The time, the reason is shoy nisken elo b'yimeim. This bracha was established when in those days shoy masikin o'esh melemato pechafira. There used to be a fire under the bath. What is it called? The actual bath. Yeah, that's right. Underneath it there was a fire, and that would be dangerous. The bath on top of the fire, literal fire. It was an underground fire which was under the bath, and it was a danger. There's always a little bit of danger. Maybe this bath is not quite as solid as you may want it to be, and there may be a little bit of a mishap and an opening in the bottom, and which wouldn't be particularly careful, which would be quite similar to the fire loss of Lovoy. And hence, there always be, when you get safe and sound out of the bathhouse, you'd say, oh, Baruch Hashem, there was like no mishap under my feet, ending up deep, literally a few feet under, literally in the fire. So there was a bit of a, there was always a bit of a happiness emerging from the bathhouse, safe and sound. And I think that particularly gives us a great hakoz atoyf for the bathers and showers we've got nowadays, in which the danger is not that great. And indeed, that's why now this lekas akona, the Shulchan Aruch says, there's no great danger nowadays, and therefore the bracha is not relevant anymore. Therefore, when we go into the bath, we don't say the bracha, and also when we leave, we don't say we don't make the bracha anymore. We don't thank Kodesh Baruch Hu for leaving the bath house happily. We don't make that bracha because nowadays it's not relevant anymore. Finally, Siv Dalet, which may or may not be relevant, Rabbi said. Do you know the following bracha? Have you ever said it? Anichmas lakis dam, somebody who goes bloodletting, which was a refuah, a medicine in those days. They would open up their bloodletting was a very common refuah, very common medical practice. Hoyme, he said, Yirotzem l'fanech Hashem l'kayb, she'eitzeg zeli l'refuah, ki roif echidam otto. To do bloodletting, and by the bloodletting, they would make the bracha of Yiratzim, Ilfanecha, the will of Hashem, that this business that I'm doing over here now should be a refuah, healing, because you, Hashem, you're Roif Echinam Otto. Velach Sheik is done, and after doing the bloodletting, Yoyim HaBoch, Roif Echolim, would say the bracha, Boy Echolim, Echolim. Now, the Mishnah sentence of cotton involved is not only for bloodletting, like is done, what in Bechol Mid Refuah, Yoyim HaZeh could say this by any refuah. Rabbi Yisai, when you take a paracetamol, do you say Yiratzim Ilfanecha Hashem Elokai She'eitzeg zeh l'refuah Ki Roif Echinam Otto? That's why it doesn't work when you take a paracetamol. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, go to Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah says, L'chol mid refuah yoyim hazeh V'lo yachshuv she'eitzeg tovor l'refuah Ela al yadei Bor Yisbach Shemoy. You should always remember when you take a medicine that it is from the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's the paracetamol that helps. It's the Ribbono Shel Olam who gives it the koyach. And it's all in hands of Ribbono Shel Olam. V'lachein, al yadei tefillah zu yasim bitchono bo. You should give trust in the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'yivakish menu shtilu refuah, and you should seek HaKadosh Baruch Hu and daven to him that he should make a refuah. So Rabbi Yisai, according to Mishnah Berurah, it is appropriate to say this bracha whenever relevant. And yes, there are yidden out there, many halach yidden, who whenever they take a paracetamol, or they take antibiotics, or they take any potential refuah, they will say this bracha, Rabbi Yisai. They will say this bracha. Yeah.
Paracetamol is just a painkiller rather than a refuah.
Yeah. It is a refuah. It's considered it's healing you. It is healing you from the pain.
It's not healing you,
it's taking away the symptoms. Nevertheless, many Yidden will do that. They will, however, the poskim say, don't say the name of Hashem. Shulchan Aruch says it often, Hashem Elokai, so they will not. They will often avoid the name of Hashem, yeah.
What about, if you're having an operation, then
you'd
say?
Yeah, you could say as well. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, but it's, people take, now, I don't know why some people have the meaning not to say, A lot of people don't do, so it could either be because they just haven't learned, they haven't been part of the issue, and they don't know. It could be that's what. But I saw, looking into it, I saw that some people refrain from doing it. There's a bit of a limut chos, because sometimes you take medicines, you will sometimes take medicines in a state that you are not allowed to say the name of Hashem, or potentially chashash, you may end up saying this whenever you're in a beis hakisse or in a place, the mekomis amutunofos, and since that medicine sometimes is associated to places which are not clean, or you may not be in a clean state, so therefore it was dropped. Yeah.
So even in the Gemara, it mentions in many different types of refuah, and the Mechav is only mentioning bloodletting.
Yeah.
Which you don't do anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like the elephant and the.
Yeah, the tafka there. Yeah.
It's only bloodletting.
No, because Mishnah Berurah says clearly, Vuhadin b'chol mi d'refu, and that's what the consensus of the poskim is. I never saw anybody saying that it should be tafka by bloodletting. I wouldn't know any svara for that.
Last time with bloodletting,
there
was
Shavuos. Yep. Yes. Bloodletting, yes, because that's over there. That's right. There's something about Erev Shavuos, bloodletting, yeah. But that's not, that's the issa of not doing bloodletting, dafka on Erev Shavuos and Erev Yom Tov. But this over here is, as far as Rufu is concerned, any of. First Simon? Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah.
Not
any Rufu, that's right, yeah, because it's a certain time. Yeah, because. It would be, yeah.
Blood test.
I have a blood test, yeah.
You don't.
The blood test, that's what you say, did
you
rotten?
You said you don't wash your hands. The Chabad says, whether you do, you don't wash your hands after that, because that's not.
Yeah.
You said that's not shy, we don't use the same.
Svara
for blood testing.
Correct. Yeah. So you're saying that it could be that you only say the yirotzen dafka for bloodletting, but he needs a svar. Why dafka bloodletting? Why, if you take a medicine, would you not say the yirotzen? I'm not sure what the svar would be. I don't think there's anything wrong with it, especially if you don't say the name of Hashem. I don't see any reason why not. I know in one particular house where they keep the paracetamols, they copy this bracha, and it's in large letters.
Is it in the set of the
bracha? No, actually, I don't think so. No, I don't think so. And it's like in large letters. And some people do that. A person should always be accustomed to saying, Kol ma de'ovid rachmona, letov ovid, everything that Ribbono Shel Olam does is for the good. So this is a shalach and shulchan aruch. Everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done is for the good. Yes, sometimes it's hard to understand and to see and to have an ability to completely understand it. But at the end of the day, Yerogiloyma, a person should be accustomed of saying to himself, Kol ma de'ovid, everything that Ribbono Shel Olam has done, the Rachmona letav over is for the good. Now the Mishnah Berurah says over here, Boruch Rofei Cholim, in about the earlier Sifkot, excuse me, that I missed it. Tzoch Lama B'Shem Malchus. Here the Mishnah Berurah says you should say the name of Shem Malchus. Aval Lo Yiru Isinu Agin Kei. But Mekodem says we don't normally say with the name of Hashem. That's what I just mentioned. Shemis Matesh. Somebody who sneezes. V'Chaver Oy Meloy Asusa. You should say somebody sneezes. You say. Asusa. Pardon? I'm dying in Mishnah Berurah Seif Kotzen Zayin. When somebody says, somebody sneezes, you could say either in Yiddish zu gesund or the Aramaic, which is Asusa. Now, I know my grandmother, Lo Shalom, she didn't know Aramaic, and I remember as a child, she used to say Susa, she used to say, and she probably didn't, Susa. Yeah, it comes from Asusa, it's this Aramaic. Yeah? That's where it comes from. So, but then you should say, when somebody says asusa, which means you should be healthy in Aramaic, asusa means you should be healthy, then you should afterwards reply, you should say bochtir. So again, Reuven sneezes, Shimon says asusa, and Reuven then says bochtir. Now the bochtir is generally omitted, probably because he's still like busy like trying to get a tissue or something, I'm not sure. But really, you should say "Bochtir." V'achkach yema and l'shoshcha kivis Hashem, and you should be saying l'shoshcha kivis Hashem. This I've never heard anybody saying. I don't know if you have. Kamur Rabbi Seinu, the mischila lo yodom choy leklal. This is based on a beautiful Maim Chazal. The Gemara says that before Yaakov Avinu, nobody used to be ill, and the first person who was ill was Yaakov Avinu. You learned this in Chumash. first person who was ill was Yaakovinu. People used to just sneeze and then die. And Yaakovinu had a tefillah. He said, I want to know before a person is unwell. You should know about it. So, there was no illness in the world. A person would sneeze and then die on the spot. People would go in the market, would go in the street, sneeze and die. And he said, and he asked, please, I want to know before I die, I want to know about this. And that's as in Parshat Vayechi, right? And Yaakov became unwell, and that's the whole history, the background behind it. But that's why when somebody sneezes, we nowadays we say Asusa and Bochtia and Ishoshim, referring to that episode of Yaakov Vina. Prior to Yaakov Vina, people die on the spot. So now we have we Yeah. Okay, Simon Reish Lamed Aleph. Any questions? Yes, somebody? Yeah. Simon Reish Lamed Aleph. Kavanah Yisrael L'Shem Shemaim. A person's Kavanah should be L'Shem Shemaim. A person's Kavanah should be with intention of the Rebbeinu Shleilam. Him I Efshel Olinmoid B'loi Shnas Tzirayim Yishon. That's an interesting halacha. That if a person is unable to learn without a little afternoon nap, a little rest, who as they are commonly called nowadays, a power nap. Yeah? So if you can't do without your power nap, Yishon, you should sleep. Nothing wrong with it. Shulchan Aruch says if you can't learn. If you can't learn in the afternoon, you should have a little bit of a rest. And when you wake up from your little rest, you should not say the bracha of Elokei Neshama. And some say you should say V'inayim before having that rest. Ubelvat, provided shalo yarich po, it should not be long. So don't do like a 2 hours one, just in case. You should not sleep during the day longer than a shinas hasus. Shehu shitin nishmi, which is 60 breath. So that is a machloikas. How long it is? We have three opinions. Lemaisa we paskin that it's 30 minutes. The Bialocha brings three opinions. Lemaisa it's taken on as 30 minutes. And indeed, many yidna makbet not to sleep, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. You should not sleep. You should not sleep longer than. There are. The Mishnah Berurah over here. Okay. Yeah, so, but we should know about his side. What's interesting is that it's referring to over here, it's ranked if you can't learn in the afternoon, then you should have a little rest. What if somebody can't work in the afternoon so well? What happens then? Is it still permitted or maybe not? Siesta. Yeah. So the truth is that, pardon? Yeah, so the Shulchan Aruch actually continues, and he says, if a person does rest and does have a little bit longer, then he shouldn't have the intention of for his own physical benefit. You could rest. There's nothing wrong with resting, but you should know that you're not just doing it for the enjoyment. You should do it because you want to serve the Rebbeinu Shleilam. You need koyach to serve the Rebbeinu Shleilam, and you should have that in mind. And whenever you have any enjoyment in this world, which Baruch Hashem, we're allowed to have all the enjoyments, and there's nothing wrong with enjoying this world. You should always do it. You should not be doing for the pure benefit, physical benefit. You should have in mind that avoid the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says in the Pasuk, B'chol tochecho, that in B'chol, in all your ways, you should know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All your actions, you should be L'Shem Shemaim. Even things which are voluntary, not obligations could go in, such as v'achila, v'ashtia, eating and drinking, v'alicha and walking, v'ayishiva and when you're sitting, v'akima and when you're getting up, v'atashmish and relations, v'asicha and shmuzing, v'chol tzoch, gufcha and all physical needs, you kulam avoid this boy rachod, it should all be for the service of the Rebbeinu Shleilam, oil of agurim and avodos, something which supports and helps and aids in the service of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Even if a person was thirsty or hungry, if a person ate or drank for his own physical benefit, it's not great. Rather, he's chaven. You should have in mind, you should eat and drink with the intention of serving the Rebbeinu Shleilam. No doubt, this is a very, very hard seif to keep. Because a person, according to this Shulchan Aruch, we will carry on tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, persons, you can do anything. You can eat, drink, you can do anything. Anything's fine. Anything's fine. Not everything, but pretty much everything. It's fine as long as you have in mind the right approach, the right attitude, the right Weltanschauung. Yes, absolutely. Yes, right. That's right. Very much in line with that. So, Rabbi said, we learned tonight a lot about a person should daven for the future and should think about the past. We learned about not doing a tefillah shavu, tefillah in vain. If it's too late, it's too late. We spoke a little bit about tefillah sadech. He came up again over here. We spoke about if a person is measuring, he should not measure. He should make sure not to measure at all because it's tefillah shav. It's enad bochem etzula b'dvar shlomen ein. If it's measured already, it's a tefillah shav. We spoke about going to the bathhouse and making the appropriate broch, which is not relevant nowadays anymore. We spoke about bloodletting and the bracha of Shia Eisig Zel Refuah, Kure Fechinam Otto, and we spoke about Kol Ovid, Rachmon Letav Ovid. We spoke about Asusa after sneezing and saying Boch Tia. And then we spoke about Sim Resh Lamed Aleph, that all a person's intention should be Lishem Shemaim, and a person should not sleep more than 30 minutes or Shis Nishmin by day. More to follow on this fascinating Seif tomorrow.